at the top of the hour, you will hear a third interview, third encounter with one of my favorite banjo players, a young man named Bennett Sullivan. We first connected almost 2 years ago. He had sent in the mail. He'd heard the program, heard of the program, sent a CD that he recorded of some great banjo music. The CD was entitled Lady Nora. As soon as I got it, I said, Bennett, you got to be on the show. We got to talk about this. By the time we got together on that following Saturday, he had been hired by Steve Martin to begin production and workout of what has now become Bright Star the Musical, which is opening on Broadway soon. Had another visit with Bennett, followed up on some other stuff that he's into, including teaching and apps for phones. If you'd like to play the banjo and you have your phone ready, you can learn how to do that. Really enjoy Bennett's playing, his thinking, the way he's approaching his career, and we'll talk about all that stuff at the top of the hour. And we'll hear a bit of a banjo picking from Bennett Sullivan from that Lady Nora album. Then we'll go right into Bennett Sullivan. Thanks so much for tuning in. A lot of fun music coming up, I guarantee it. All right, I'm really happy to welcome back for the third time Bennett Sullivan. How are you doing, Bennett?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled. Listen, just for history for people listening, third time for you. The first time I looked back at my archives page was February 8th of 2014. It was Saturday, and as I recall, very, very clearly, I did not know this when we planned it. You had sent me your CD, Lady Nora, which is great music, great banjo playing. And so I said, man, I got to talk to this guy. So we set this thing up for the 8th. And on the 8th, we get on the phone with you, and you had just found out what news had you just gotten, like, I think the day before we did that recording.
I think it was that we were either workshopping Bright Star,
yeah,
or we were going to San Diego. I can't remember, but it was about Bright Star.
You had just begun workshopping. San Diego was not, I mean, that was not even thought of at the time. You just had begun workshopping Bright Star.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems so long ago.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like.
It has come so far.
It's almost 2 years. Almost 2 years, because on February 8th, it'll be 2 years. So that's pretty neat.
Right.
So let's bring everybody up to date. You got selected for that. You were workshopping. Now, you know what the term workshopping is, and maybe you knew before you started doing it. But workshopping, my interpretation is that this musical, which is now going to Broadway, kind of came out of the music and recordings of Steve Martin and Edie Brickell. And workshopping is that you're kind of like working through, you know, getting it on the stage and making sure you get the bugs out, and then you went to San Diego, right? Yeah, and how long were you out in San Diego?
I was in San Diego for about 3 months. That was like late summer into fall. I think my last day in San Diego was November 2nd, 2014.
So explain to me this, because I can't possibly relate to this. You're a teacher. You're a banjo player. You had just done this album, Lady Nora. And I assume by the time you had talked to me on the 8th, you had at least tried out or auditioned or something for this thing. And tell me how your life has changed since that day. I mean, you go to San Diego. It has to be something you would have never guessed before that day in February 2014 that this was going to happen.
Yeah. I would have never guessed picking up the banjo would, like, you know, take me around the world and, you know, show me all these beautiful places and allow me to be a professional musician, which is like my dream.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And also just be able to meet, you know, the Steve Martin, and you're the Steve Martin as well, but, you know, the comedian Steve Martin, who I've always looked up to, you know, I've watched his movies and everything, and also to meet Edie Brickell, Paul Simon, it's been, you know, incredible since the workshops in San Diego, and now Broadway.
Well, and do you ever still wake up and say, is this really happening? Because it all happens so fast. It seems to me that the news came that you were going to do this, and all of a sudden you're in San Diego, and then you're in Washington, and we'll talk about the stint at Kennedy Center, but you have to still, you almost haven't had time to really stop and think, what the heck's going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it hits me, it hasn't really hit me yet that we're going to Broadway. I did walk past the theater just last night, and I saw, you know, the signs and everything on the theater, but really it doesn't hit me until I'm in it. And then I'm like, I kind of like to take a step back, and I'm like, whoa, this is actually happening. And that's kind of how it was with Kennedy Center. and just with all the projects that I have ideas about, I'm excited about, and then they happen, and then it hits me.
And for the listeners, and we may have gone through this, well, I think you came back on in August of 2014, but for the listeners, what is your role now as the show Bright Star? You've done Lincoln Center, or is it Kennedy Center? Kennedy Center in Washington. Yeah, two presidents, so you've done that, and now you're going to Broadway, and you've seen the theater. What's your role in the musical? As if someone goes to see it, what will you be doing now? I know you're in the musician in the company, but what are you doing?
Well, I am playing Steve's parts that have been changed quite a bit since the first workshop, and there's been a lot of new songs since then. But I'm in costume on stage. Playing banjo and guitar, both clawhammer and three finger banjo, in the show. And the show is really cool. The set is actually this kind of bandstand looking house that has wheels on it, and they push that around. And there's five members of the band in the house, and the fiddle player and me and the guitar player get up off the house and the actors on stage.
What, now,
in, you know, the musicians mm-hmm. to the story as like a part of the set, you know, and that's really fun.
What I remember, correct me if I'm wrong on this, when you were workshopping this Bright Star, and that was done in New York, correct? Was it in New York that you first went through this, or where did the workshopping occur?
The workshop was in New York.
New York, and then you go to San Diego. What I recall between our February 2014 encounter and then our discussion that I think we had in August of 2014 is that at some point you had a line, and then you didn't have a line anymore. Right?
Yeah.
And what I remember, too.
I don't think my delivery. Yeah, correct.
What I remember is this, is that you were okay that your line was no longer in the play.
Yeah, I'm still okay with that.
Okay. Well, you think about
it. Just to play banjo.
You're happy just to play banjo, but I remember that so clearly that, yeah, I don't remember what your line was, and you've probably forgotten it by now. It was probably so long and complicated, and you haven't rehearsed it. You probably would never remember that line again, but I just remember that you said, I'm okay not having it in there anymore. So I thought, that's good. That's honest. Most people would fight for their line. Yeah. They would want to have their line on stage in Broadway and everywhere, but I just think I'm so excited for you. I love the album, Lady Nora.
Thanks so much.
I love the album, and really, I only wanted to get you on because I thought, this guy's a great player. I didn't know that you taught then. None of us knew that you were going to get picked for this, which thing now, which is going to go, all kinds of rave reviews, is going to Broadway, and I just think it must be the coolest thing in the world. And I think, you know, I don't know you personally, I haven't met you, but I'm glad that it's happening to you. I think you're a pretty good guy.
Thanks. I really appreciate that.
So when do you actually kick off? When do you actually kick it off on Broadway? When does it start?
Well, the first preview is on February 28th, and opening night is March 24th. And
okay.
It's at the Court Theater on 48th and Broadway in New York City. And the Court Theater is a really intimate theater, which I think is really perfect for the show. And they don't usually have musicals, I've heard. I don't know much about Broadway. This is my first, like, ever kind of Broadway or, like, big show gig that I've ever done. But I hear they only do plays there, or they typically do plays there, and this is, like, one of the first times they're doing a musical. So I think that's kind of interesting fact about the Court Theater.
Have you been in there yet, just to kind of run through it, or you're still going to do that?
No, I'm actually getting there on the 20th
okay.
to start rehearsal.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, well, this is neat. This is so neat. I wish I could find a way to scoot up there. And do you know how long the run is going to be? Is this going to be as long as it lasts?
Yeah, it's open-ended.
Okay.
That would be great for you, Tom.
I would love to run up. Cool. I just think that's cool. And you have, the last time you were on, you had just developed, and I want to go through this again because it's been a while, a learning app you have for banjo instruction. Let's go through that a little bit, and then we can talk about, I know there's a way you can get it, and I know that you have other website things you want to talk about, but let's talk about this you would think there's every way in the world already invented to teach banjo, but you came up with this. You came up with this app, which I think was kind of interesting. Talk about that for a minute.
Okay, so this was around, I think, March that I got in touch with my now business partner. His name is Yuri Markolau, and he's a Czech developer, and he's also a musician, a really great musician and banjo player, and he lives in the Czech Republic. And I had this idea to kind of bring tablature and audio recordings together to help people kind of get off tab, but also just like kind of promote the idea of learning by ear.
Okay, I'm going to slow you down for a minute, Bennett, because I know what tablature is, but everybody else might not. So you have a couple ways of learning.
Okay.
One is you sit in a room with someone. Well, you can sit and listen to records. And tablature is what? Just for the people that I play banjo, but there might be people that don't. Who knows? Tell them what tablature is. Describe that for them.
Tablature is a type of sheet music. It's a type of notation that actually shows you what strings you're going to hit with your right hand, and then what frets you're going to push down, what notes you're going to push down with your left hand. So it's a tool that a lot of guitar players use, and it's widely used in the banjo community and mandolin. Fiddle players use standard notation, which is using the regular staff, but we use tablature, and that's what primarily guitar players use.
At first blush, if you open the page of it, it actually looks like music because it's a musical staff.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Five lines.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And instead of like little black notes on it, it has numbers, and that's where your left hand will push down the fret.
Okay. All right. So you talked about the ways of learning. That was one of them. The other ones we can understand sort of intuitively. And you were talking about your friend that was going to help you develop this app. And I cut you off because I just wanted people to know what tablature was. All right. So we know what that is now. And how do you come to this idea to come up with this application?
Did you ask how did I come up with it?
Yes.
I came up with it. I was trying to figure out ways to teach students and not have them just rely on looking at the music the entire time, because I think when you're looking at the music, you're not engaging your ears in the way a musician should engage their ears when they're learning music, since music is an oral art form. And so I started taking out different notes and measures from the tablature and giving them an accompanying recording to listen to so they can learn the tablature, you know, some of the fingerings, where they are on the neck, by using the tablature, but they also have to listen to the recording to figure out those certain notes, licks, and measures. And so I just did that analog with PDFs and recordings. I was like, well, this could be a cool app idea. To actually like be able to play your instrument to the app, and it can tell you if you have the right note or not. So I got in touch with Yuri Markolau, and he said he'd like to work on it with me. And so we've been working, well, we released that app, I guess, June of 2014, and we've expanded our team since then. We also have another app called Pocket Lick,
okay,
which is just a list of phrases, bluegrass phrases, and licks that has tab, video, and audio.
And you can just play that and watch it. You play it and you watch a clip.
It.
Okay.
And listen to it. You can look at the tab. So it's got these three different ways of learn the licks. And I think that's like a great kind of just method of doing it. So you can look at a video if you just want to learn it. Watching and listen to it. If you can't figure it out completely, you can check out the tab. Make sure you're playing all the right notes, and then you can also listen to the faster version, which I played like a guitar rhythm track, and that's just to hear it in context.
Okay. Now, on either one, you have two apps then?
Well, technically we have four different apps out. We have Listen and Learn Banjo, which is the first one I was talking about.
Okay.
We have we have Pocket Lick Banjo, and then we have Pocket Lick Guitar, and we just recently released Pocket Lick Banjo 2.
Okay. All right. And these are available on, does it have to be an iPhone or not an iPhone or any type of phone someone might have that can use these?
Yeah. So Pocket Lick Banjo and Pocket Lick Guitar are available on Android and iPhone. Listen and Learn is available on iPad, and Pocket Lick Banjo 2 is available on iPhone.
Okay.
And I know that's a little confusing, but if the listeners want to go check out those apps, they can go to www.listenlearnapp.com.
Okay.
That has all the info you need to know about that.
Okay.
And they can also go to my website, BennettSullivanMusic.com.
Okay.
And I have info about the apps on there.
Are you getting feedback as to which one, or can you tell which one is being used more, which one is being downloaded more, for what application? What are you able to tell how it's doing as far as people taking it, downloading it, and using it?
Yeah, we get those metrics, and we also get a lot of ratings from people. And I definitely say our most popular app is Pocket Lick Banjo. I think people just really love the accessibility. There's in the first version, we have like over 70 licks. And so it just gives them tons to work on. And I think it's a fun way to do it, too. You can favorite the licks that you like and just kind of scroll through and learn. I've created some of the licks. I've transcribed some Merle Scruggs. There's a bunch of Jim Mills. There's some Tony Rice-ish banjo licks in there. I know he's a guitar player, but I took some of his guitar licks.
Well, I figured that's what you meant, but yeah, that's good to explain that, yeah.
What I really want to talk about is our expanded team.
Yes.
Which now, instead of just Yuri and I working on it, it's four people. So we added a UX developer, and his name is Tyler Stegall, and he lives in San Francisco. And UX is user experience. So that's just from, the very moment you open an app on your phone, what is your experience? What button do you push on first, and where does that lead you, and then what do you do? So he's helping design the app. And then we have a web programmer named Jacob Prokopek, and he is a Czech designer. Developer.
Okay.
And he lives near Erie.
Well, so this many people on board, you must have plans to something in the works that you're going to expand it, or you feel the need to improve the use of or the usability of what you're doing. I mean, you're not just sitting on your laurels and saying, here it is, use it. You've got other ideas involved.
Exactly, yeah. So we are going to, since Yuri is mostly an iOS developer, we don't have an Android developer on board right now, and I know a lot of users have been bummed out about that, but we are adding a web element to our apps, and we are creating something entirely new, but we're kind of combining Pocket Lick and Listen and Learn. So you're going to have aspects of Listen and Learn, like the invisible tab where you have to actually learn it by ear. But we're going to have a lot more flexibility in it. So I've noticed a lot of users get frustrated by not being able to see the tab when they really want to. And we've gotten some negative reviews about that on Listen and Learn. And that's not our intent. But I don't want to frustrate people, but I do want to challenge. So we're kind of setting it up so there's going to be a difficulty meter in the Listen and Learn section of the app. And then to bring Pocket Lick into this new app that we're creating, we're going to make it so users can actually go through the song that they're learning and click on different measures to scroll through and choose alternate licks to be put in the song. And then they can save that new version of the song. And that's just to give people some variety and kind of see how improvisation works and how using different licks in a song actually works in the construction of the song.
Okay, so they can take a string, they can take different licks and say interchange different D licks or different things they might play out of C. They can, and once they learn the melody, they can have the option of putting different fragments in there.
There's gonna be a lot of different options. And we're calling it Creative Tab right now because we want it to be as flexible and as fun to use as possible. And so we're kind of combining those two elements, and then eventually we're going to add an analyzer. So you'll be able to play to the app, and it'll be able to tell you, how you're playing, if you're slowing down, if you're speeding up, if you're missing notes. But this is definitely all in the works right now, and we're hoping to have something for iOS and the web in June of this year.
Now, see, that last bit you mentioned, that would be totally different than any sort of a web-based teacher method that's available where there's a lot of people you can teach. Nothing wrong with it, but you can teach and they can write back. You're talking about an application that will actually kind of point out or correct issues with you as you're doing it from the application, not that someone else on your end has to review it and write back. It actually will kind of tell you that you're, am I reading that correctly, what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good. Well, that's new. That's new. Never heard of that one, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to it. We've been working on the design end of it. Tyler's been sending over some really great visual stuff for us to check out. I think it's going to be a really awesome learning tool that a lot of people are going to get a ton out of. Yeah.
Well, and for the people listening, Bennett Sullivan, you're a teacher, you're a musician and a player, and now you're involved in Brightstar, which we've talked about, and we're just very happy. But you have been for a while a music instructor, correct?
Yeah, right. I have been.
So this is another.
Kind of slowed down. Sorry.
No, I was going to say this is another way for you to teach. What you were going to say is kind of slowed down with what's going on. I can imagine what you were going to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was, I had a ton of students at one point, last year. And that was my main source of income, and I love to teach. But I've also, I guess last year I started a YouTube channel, and that's been mostly my outlet for teaching most recently. And I'm really trying to build that up, and I started in a membership site to support my YouTube channel, which is only like $4.99 a month, $5 a month, for people. If they see my videos, they like them on YouTube, they can, throw me $5 a month and help me, build the community and also make great content on YouTube.
Okay.
That sounds like a plug, but I'm just trying to describe it.
You're just describing what's out there, which is fine. So that's another thing. We had talked about the website and the apps, but another thing might be the YouTube channel where you are, the videos I assume you're posting are just not you in concert. You're actually doing instructional type videos still there, right?
Yeah, it's all instructional stuff.
Okay.
I do two camera things. And, like I was talking about before, my whole thing is learning by ear. So I really think that's an important thing to do as a musician, as someone that's wanting to learn music. Learning by ear, especially on the banjo or bluegrass, or really, I think for any music style, even classical music, I think it's really important to have great ears and to not get addicted to tab. I think too much of anything is a bad thing. And I think people, especially in the banjo community, but also in the guitar community, get too addicted to looking at this piece of paper and getting that instant gratification. But it really doesn't help them in the long run.
Well, I think that's a fair.
They want to be creative with the instrument.
I think that's a fair criticism.
My videos are geared towards helping people do that.
Yeah.
Through like learning songs.
Okay. Well, that's so it's not just Bennett Sullivan, App Geek. You're an instructor. You're a musician, and you're trying to get these concepts of what you believe to be the best ways to teach available using all of the website and the app and the YouTube channel. You're just trying to get that more accessible to people for the theory that you're going to teach them how to eventually learn by ear or have great ear, because they're going to have to hear where the notes are on the fretboard and know where to go and feel comfortable that
yeah.
they know that. Yeah. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess that's my mission. It's just because I've had such success, doing that and learning how to transcribe and being trained and, training my ears and figuring out different fun ways to do it. And I used to play exclusively from tab, but I noticed this steep incline in my progress when I started to just not look at tab anymore.
Okay.
And now I never do it. I if I hear something, I want to try and figure it out by ear.
Okay.
No matter how long it takes me, But at this point, because I've trained so much, and I'm not trying to brag, but I'm just saying, because of all the time that I've spent working on transcribing things and learning by ear, learning a Scrugg solo at this point will take me 10 minutes tops.
Okay.
By ear. So it's I really like I'm really into that concept, as you can probably say.
Oh, no, yeah, sure. No, I hear it. I hear it loud and clear. I think it's a valid point to make that let's put it this way. For someone to rise to the level of start thinking about being a complete musician, and we'll talk about banjos, a complete banjo player, you need all of those elements handy to you. You need to be able to do exactly what you're saying. That's the goal. I will say that from being around fringes of, almost looking through the window at being complete and then not again because I get lazy, but I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. So I'm happy. I'm glad. I'm glad these things are available. Well, this is great. Well, you're just a busy guy, man. And have you done any more recording since Lady Nora?
I'm really glad you asked. And I'm going to take that as a kick in the butt. I really want to be. That's a part of my life that I feel like I have been neglecting in a way. And it's okay. Like, I'm not, like, bummed about that, but I'm kind of ready to be writing. I do write, almost every day. I try to, put something on my phone, record something on my phone, just to have stuff, and just because that feels right to me. But making a recording would be amazing. That's like one of my dreams right now, to be able to fit that in.
And when you do, you know where to find me and how to get it to me, and we'll talk about that when it comes out again. I'm so excited for it. I just think this must be the neatest. Who would have thought? I mean, maybe you did, but who would have thought 2 years ago that this is what you'd be doing, is waiting on the outskirts of Broadway. It's amazing. This just tickles me to no end, Ben, and I just think it's great. Okay. All right.
I did too. I mean, I didn't know I was going to get that call.
No.
Noel DeConey recommended me, but he didn't let me know that Steve was going to call me about it. Steve just cold called me. Like, I want a banjo player for this show, or I need a banjo player.
Will you confirm this for me to people? And you see him on a much regular basis, and I've met him and talked to him before. But I believe that I'm accurate on this. I think he's really a nice guy.
Oh, he's a super nice guy. Actually, I just recorded a bunch of videos with him for my YouTube channel.
Oh, good. Okay.
To demonstrate how much of a nice guy he is.
Yeah, I think that's.
He's so generous. Such an amazing creator and inspiration to me, and I'm incredibly grateful and happy I get to hang out with him and know him and play with him. It's incredible.
Well, enjoy this time, my friend. I think it's going to be so exciting, the next chapter, and then we can't see to see what else you do, Bennett Sullivan. I'm thrilled, man.
Well, thanks so much. Hopefully next time we can do an interview in person.
Absolutely. It can happen. It happens every once in a while if I'm lucky enough. We'll do that next time. All right, I'm going to let you go because I know you probably have things going on, but thanks for being available. I'll talk to you later.
Cool. Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Bennett. See you, man.
Bye.
Thanks so much, Bennett Sullivan. What a wonderful experience, deservedly so, for him as he goes through the next phase of this Bright Star musical with Steve and Edie, the work that they did, and now it's just ready to go. And he just shows up and does it. I wish I could be there when he comes out the first time just to say that he's on Broadway. And I think he's going to really do a great job. Thanks again, Bennett Sullivan, for hanging out today.